Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. I'm trying to clear my throat beforehand. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on February 9th, 2023. And I'm going to shut off the music here in just a few minutes. You're going to hear from Ann Brown. Ann is the Executive Director, CEO, President, excuse me, of the Cook Center for Human Connection, which is a 501c nonprofit based out of Utah. But they're an amazing group, and what their goal is to eradicate suicide. They work so well with schools and teenagers and do other mental health stuff, and that's what Ann's going to be talking about today. Recently, they put together a program with AASA, and they've installed what are called calm rooms. We're going to talk about that and the need for them, all right, in schools. They've worked with many schools and rewarded schools with calm rooms through the organization. So this is an SELtoday.org presentation, and social emotional learning is so key today. And you all know what we're up against with the mental health challenges, especially in schools. We have to make sure we take care of that. That's what Ann and her group at Cook Center does. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's the website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, our new issue of the magazine that honors all our Equity Award winners. All right, is available to you. Just click on the magazine cover at ace-ed.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the magazine, all that means is we're going to send you a link to the magazine every other month when it comes out. All right, and it's free. So if you'd like to get it, we'd be happy to send it to you like so many others do. Everything we do is over there. The podcasts, they're all there. SELtoday.org, a link to teacherretention.com, et cetera. All right, so it's pretty good stuff over at Consortium for Equity. Again, everything's free for educators, so please check it all out. And without further ado, a good friend of ours, the one and only Ann Brown. Hi, Ann. Larry here.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Good to talk to you.
That's great to hear your voice. How's everything in Utah, which I assume is where you are today?
I am in Utah today, getting ready to go to the superintendent's conference next week in San Antonio, but today I'm in
exactly.
my home office in Park City.
Excellent. Who could ask for anything more? Beautiful Park City, what can I tell you? You know, it's just great. Have fun at the AASA conference next week, okay? It's going to be great, okay? Everything they do, as far as I'm concerned, is A-okay. And I know you're working with them with the comrades. We're going to be talking about all this, okay? So we're going to go forward with that. But I want you to – I tried to do it, Ann. Okay, you're so incredible. Tell everybody what the Cook Center does. It's just amazing. And
yeah.
Please mention the cooks themselves.
I will. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the Cook Center for Human Connection.
Talk a little louder if you can into your phone. I don't know. Just have it a little. The volume seems a little off for some reason.
How's that, Larry? Is that better?
Oh, it's a little better. Give it a shot.
Okay. I could put headphones in. The Cook Center for Human Connection, we're a national nonprofit. We focus on youth mental health and suicide prevention. And we were founded about 3 years ago by Greg and Julie Cook. Greg and Julie are some of the initial founders of doTERRA Essential Oils. And when they were in a position that they could give back, they really decided that behavioral health was the place that was super important to them and mental health support. They initially gave to a children's hospital, and when they gave to that hospital, they were asked where they wanted their donation to be directed. And what they found out in that process was that mental health was the most difficult place for the children's hospital to get funding and was getting the least amount of funding. And this was pre-pandemic. This was about 2018. And so they said, well, you know, that's where we want our donation directed. But that also brought them back to a difficult time in their lives when a young boy who was 11 years old and their neighbor died by suicide. The father happened to be out of town. And so the mother called on Greg to be with her as they went through this horrible process. And he was the one who notified the father of what was happening, you know, with the son and the family. And Greg and Julie both said, you know, and that just stays with you. It those experiences never leave you. And And when they had the opportunity to give back, they just want to help, you know, every family not go through that and provide resources so that any family anywhere, you know, in an equitable way can get access to mental health supports, because that's often such a difficult thing. And, you know, one of the positives out of the pandemic is that I think the whole world has now woken up to the issues that we're dealing with when it comes to mental health. And so, you know, we're stigmatizing, we're providing resources, and right. So, you know, that would be maybe the positive out of, there's more awareness now.
Yeah. Well, the pandemic, it killed a lot of people, and we paid a real price for what we're learning from it. Okay. And, boy, it's really something. And I have to tell everybody, Anne's really one of the nicest, most cheery people in the world. Okay. And she has to deal with this stuff every day. And she just, it's just amazing when we talk about teen suicide. It just makes me so sad to even have a subject. How bad is it out there, Anne? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, it continues to rise, and it continues to be an issue.
It's still rising? It's still rising?
It is still rising. We had a little dip in 2020, and some of the experts point to that being the fact that, you know, we were home more and kids were more connected to families and things like that. But suicide ideation is definitely on the rise. We've had a almost 60% increase in people who visit, in young people who visit the ER for suicide ideation. We have had, you know, an increase in deaths in 2021 from what we were seeing in 19 and 20. So there are, you know, we're also working on the problem. But like I said, the good news is there's a lot of people working on the problem. When we, our current Surgeon General is Dr. Vivek Murthy, and he's taken this on as one of his, I don't know how to say it, billboard items.
Yeah, yeah.
Is really combating the youth mental health crisis. And you know, I'm happy to say that many of the things that he talks about as solutions are things that we've put in place, that we've been working on for the last 3 years. Things like increasing access, making sure there's equitable access, having more adults that know how to help children, working directly with schools. Those are all things that we were doing. And when Dr. Murthy came out with his solutions, I was like, wow, at least we're on the right track, you know?
Yeah, we are on the right track. And Anne, I want you to talk about, besides the calm rooms, we're going to devote a lot of time to that in a minute, but just talk about what schools need to know, school districts, I should say, about, and schools, about working with Cook Center. What do they need to know? Like, if we were doing this show, we're going to talk about the Comrades, but that's a specific thing, okay? But you guys do a lot of work with schools. So how does a school access you, and what's the process, et cetera? Why should they, that kind of thing?
So, you know, we basically have grants that we give to schools to be able to, you know, put in programs that we have vetted and made sure are having an impact in the space of mental health. And then we also provide services to schools to enhance the work of those grants. So the best way to get in touch with us is cookcenter.org. Or you can also do cookcenter.org/grants, and anytime we're putting out a grant, you would be the first to know. So over the last 3 years, one of the things we did initially is that we funded 60 Hope Squads around the country, because we know the impact of peer-to-peer networks in schools and how that really does combat suicide. We also... a couple of years ago, had a grant program for a program called Choose Kindness. And Choose Kindness is the brainchild of a former NBA player named Jimmer Fredette. And the whole focus of Choose Kindness is that it changes the culture of a school to a culture of kindness through daily interactions, you know, monthly, you know, just having having a whole school initiative of kindness, and it just helped mm-hmm. outline that initiative for the schools. So we funded 20 of those schools around the country. And then this year we're going to talk about Calm Rooms, so I'll kind of skip over that. But
this year
we funded Calm Rooms, and I'll talk about that. And then we have an ongoing grant program called parentguidance.org. And this is a system that we put into schools. Schools put this on their school website, and it takes parents directly to parentguidance.org website. And parentguidance.org is a collection of courses all done by licensed therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, so that when parents are dealing with difficult things in parenting, you know, it could be things like cutting or anxiety or depression or suicide ideation or frustration or anger or grief, any of these difficult things in parenting that come up with their kids, they have a place that they can go and hear how a licensed therapist would help them and respond. Now, it's all video content, but it's very specifically done around a specific topic and talking to a parent about how they can help their child. And it's a real missing link. You know, if you go back 100 years or 150 years, people didn't know that infection was killing them more than, more than a disease, right? And so so we taught people that they needed to wash their hands, and then when they cut their finger, they needed to wash out the cut and put a little cream on it and put a Band-Aid on it and, you know, protect it. We were able to teach people that. Well, we're kind of way back in the day of not understanding how to deal with infection. We're at that point where we don't understand how to deal with mental health, and we need parents to be that first line of defense for kids. And so giving them this immediate access and this information. And when I say parents, what I'm talking about is every child in this country has someone who is responsible for their care. It could be everything from a mom and dad to a grandparent to an aunt and uncle to a foster parent to an older sibling, right? But someone, some adult is in charge of every child's care. And so that's what I mean by parent. And I think we need to start being able to broadly use the term parent to know that it's a caregiver of a child, because parents come in all shapes and sizes. But all of them are the person who loves that child the most and has the most invested in their well-being and their care. And so we need to get those people on the team of kids' mental health. And so we provide parentguidance.org free to schools, free to families, all through a grant from the Cook Center, so that you know, when you talk about equitable access, anyone anywhere can access this. And as someone who, you know, I've always had insurance. I've always had a good job, but I've also had mental health needs of my children, my son, and when I first needed it, I was in a rural place in Idaho, and I was 3 hours from care for Boise or 5 hours from care in Salt Lake.
Wow.
You know, it's a financial strain, even when you have insurance and you have good, you know, you have financial resources, it's still a financial strain. You also don't know where to turn. There's shame and there's stigma in it, so you don't know who to ask. You might be dealing, you know, I have a good relationship with my mother, but she's 89 years old. She doesn't understand social media, right? So I may be dealing with a parent or with my own parent or my own guides in parenting that don't know how to deal with the issues that are being that are happening in today. And that's all of what parent guidance does.
Yeah, and I have a couple of questions, but, you know, we talk about mental health having a stigma. But mental health is just part of health, okay? There shouldn't be a stigma. Yeah, it shouldn't be a, you know, God forbid you have cancer or anything like that or any disease, okay? It's not a stigma, okay?
Yeah.
But for some reason, mental health is, okay? And it's just, and we have to really work constantly to make that change, because it's still there, that thing. And also, I have to ask, again, as you were talking about this, it struck me, when you talk about we gave a grant to a school, where does this have to happen in K-12, grades 1 through 12, or kindergarten through 12? I hate to ask you this way, but I'm going to, what's the sweet spot for mental health intervention, so to speak, to get these programs going? Is it high school? Do we start them in third grade? Where, where is it? What have you learned about that?
Well, again, it's the family. And so it's rebirth that we need to be thinking
about.
Well,
I didn't mean it that way. Let me ask the question a different way. Does this work best in an elementary school? Does it work best starting it in junior high school, or does it work best starting it in high school? Which schools are we talking about? You know, and I hope I'm asking the question properly.
The reality is that our hope is that we work with districts in every school and the district has parent guidance on their website, because the issues that we're dealing with children right now, you know, a lot of people point to middle school, a lot of people point to, you know, that high school is the right place, but that's not really the case. We're starting to see, I think in Las Vegas last year, they lost a child who was 5 or 6 years old to suicide. These mental health needs and these basic parenting skills need to happen for every child. And every course that we have on parent guidance is not all about, you know, the difficult parts of mental health. We also have a whole series that's about understanding your child's emotional development at certain ages. You know, so understanding your child's emotional development at 5 years, 11 years old, at 15 years old, at 18 years old, because emotional development happens, you know, even pre-birth, but definitely from the moment the child's born, there is emotional development. There's connection that you need to have with your children. There's eye contact that needs to be made. There's tone in your, you know, there's a calmness in your home that needs to be happening to help children feel safe. And that happens so early. And yet, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot, Larry, is that if you're a 15-year-old who you know, is now a single mother who has a new baby at home, you've probably never had a child development course. But guess what? If you're a Harvard MBA or you're an MIT engineer or you're a financial guy, you know, a Wall Street financial person, you also have probably never had a child development course.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we said, there ought to be a license for parenting. You know, you don't have to go through this like you have to pass a driver's test. You know?
And you know what? There's not, and I'm not advocating for that, but anyone who's a parent can access information on how to be a better parent, and not even a better parent, but just, let's say, a more informed parent. I've got a 30-year-old and a 26-year-old, and as I started doing this work and working with our therapy team and you know, there were some things that I went, oh, I could have done that better. But there's also some things that I went, wow, those are parenting tips I can still use even with my adult children. So everybody can, you know, when you talk about self-help, our whole country is about self-help. This is self-help for how to be the parent that you want to be and that you know your kids deserve.
That was well said. Okay, cookcenter.org, everybody. And now we're going to talk about these calm rooms for which you gave some great matching grants. Let me preface this. Okay, the Cook Center is a co-sponsor, okay, working with AASA, the Superintendent Association, and that conference is coming up next week. The AASA's Mental Health Cohort, which is, I know they have a lot of cohorts. I work closely with them. I'm glad they have a mental health one. Okay, and they're trying to help the schools establish across the nation best practices, okay? And one of the best practices that AASA has discovered, okay, is that, and I got for this, they're smart enough to figure this out, the Cook Center for Human Connection, that's Ann, okay? And Ann is helping schools with calm rooms, okay? And Ann, that's where I want to go, okay? Do this any way you want. You had the grants. You can talk about the grants. You can talk about what is a calm room. Just go for it.
Yeah. Well, so as I said, you know, Cook Center each year that we've been part of it, we've set aside resources to be able to provide grants directly to schools. So Hope Squads, Choose Kindness. About a year ago, year and a half ago, a school approached us. It's called Polaris High School in Alpine School District in Utah. They approached us and they said, we would like to do a calm room. Would you help us fund that? And I had actually seen a calm room in another place that was just opened in Utah called Neighborhood House. And I thought, wow, that is something that could really have impact on schools. And so I said, yes, you know, we'll consider funding you, but let's do this research together. So with Polaris High School, we went and we visited Neighborhood House, and we saw, you know, kind of the science behind calm rooms or wellness rooms and what they needed to include and all of that. And so for a fairly minimum support and investment, Polaris was able to build this just amazing, beautiful space for kids, and has had a real impact. It's been open about a year and a half now in their school.
Nice.
And has literally had thousands of visitors to it. And what they do, they've created this beautiful space, and through
where is
that
the space?
And then
is it part of the library? Is it an old classroom? What is it?
No, they were building a school, and so they designated a classroom in this school as they were building it to be this.
Great. Excellent.
But it's a classroom. I mean, you go in and you see the little counter where, so that you could have it be a science classroom. So you got a sink in it where kids can wash their hands and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
If you walk into it, you're like, yep, it's a classroom. So it's nothing different, but they did designate this one space. But, you know, one of the things we did with the research on it was, when kids are dysregulated, there are lots of different needs that they might have. And so you need to really provide resources for all the senses, right? So texture, you know, there's soft things and hard things and smooth things and rough things. Mm. Weighted blankets in it. There's chairs that swing. There's a water feature. There's the ability to change the lighting and change the colors of the room. There's sound systems in there. There's the ability to put in different smells and you know, change mood through scent. And then on top of that, there are, you know, there's things that kids can do. There's, you know, calming activities. There's fidget things, and there's coloring books, and there's puzzles, and there's and so all of those features are wonderful and amazing, but then you have to have a really good structure around the use of the room. And so with Polaris, their use is a child comes in, they can come anytime, you know, they come in, they grab a egg timer basically, or an hourglass, flip it over, it's 10 minutes. If they have to flip it, nobody will bother them in that 10 minutes, right?
No, is there an adult there all the time? Is it monitored?
Always
with an
adult there. Yes, there's always an adult there. But the adult doesn't come, you know, the adult doesn't come over. The kids, the child can just timer, go do whatever they want in the room. If they have to flip the timer back over, then they need to talk to the adult. Then they need to say, here's what, you know, the adult will come over and say, well, what's going on? What can we help you with? You know, just really so that they, so if a child just needs a timeout, they just need that space, they've got that.
Sure.
But if they really need help, there's somebody there to help them as well. And then
is there more than one kid
there
at a time? Can there be more than one child? Yeah.
Yeah. There's seating probably for 10 or 15. I don't know how many they've ever had at once.
Cool.
But the other thing that's happening is they are keeping track of, you know, how often kids are coming, and they're also looking at, like, what are the things that help this child, as well as then looking globally, like, what are the things that most children are connecting with, you know, what are the, you know, where do they sit, what do they do, what's the activity that seems to calm them. I mean, there's a lot of tracking of information so that they can continue to help. And the kids just know that they have this. And then Polaris has taken it a step further, and we're starting to see this throughout Utah. So this is the next extension of what we're doing to help, is they've created a full kind of teen center around it. So besides just having this calm room, they now have, you know, a clothing place, a place where girls can get feminine products, a place where they can get, you know, kids can come in and get food if they need it.
No stigma. They could just go in.
Right, exactly.
If the young lady needs something, or if the kids missed breakfast at home, whatever, they don't have to, there's no stigma attached. They can just go get it.
Yeah, and so it's just, you know, so that's what we love at the Cook Center is when we make an initial investment in a school district and they can really take advantage of the work that we've done and build that into something bigger than we could even have imagined. You know, that's our hope. That's our hope with the work that we do at the Cook Center. And so
I have to ask in Polaris, who was the adult in the room? Is it a school counselor or is it a paraprofessional? Who is it?
It's not. It's a you know, highly caring adult. I believe she was initially the school secretary and now she does this full time.
Got it. Okay.
But she's not, you know, she's not coming in as a counselor. But here's the thing. If she knows that a child needs a counselor, she can get them to a counselor.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
I mean, that, you know, that's the beauty of this too.
Wow.
And so,
I got to ask, so you said something at the beginning that struck me when you were talking about Polaris, and we're just using them as the first example. How many kids are using this on a regular basis, on a given day, or you had
so they have
or a number?
So I don't know that I can tell you Polaris, but yesterday or 2 days ago, I was in Davis School District visiting another one of these, not one I funded, but one that's just doing amazing work that's very similar. And they said they have 50 kids a day that use it.
Wow.
50 kids a day.
That's a lot.
So they're,
that's,
you know, they're kind of coming and going, but
kids
need
it
this.
These days.
I mean, they may need the quiet space because they don't have it at home. They may need the calm space because they don't have it at home. They may just need a snack. They might need, you know, they might only have two sets of clothes and one of them needs to be washed in the laundry. I mean, there's just, you know, and I know there's people that say, oh, we can't do everything. And we can't. I understand that.
We're not doing everything.
But,
we're doing this.
But if we can do what we can, you know, if we can do what we can, that really helps. So.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. So now talk about how your grant program works.
So let me take
terrific.
Another step. So from that wonderful experience of the Calm Room, they sent us over port. We all visited. We were just so impressed with it. And Greg and Julie in a meeting, Greg and Julie Cook said, why aren't we doing more of these? And I said, absolutely, let's do more of them. And so this year they set aside $100,000 for it. And, you know, we thought the way we could really maximize this is to offer $5,000 grants so that schools could match about $5,000. And that's similar, $10,000 is similar to the investment that we made in Polaris. And so we did these as matching grants, and we anticipated that we'd give away 20. We had about 70 applicants from around the country, and not all of them asked for the full $5,000. So because of that, we were able to give out 26 grants. So we funded 26 from 26 calm rooms around the country, and everyone is different. You know, this isn't a program as, you know, as much as, I mean, I loved funding Hope Squads and we'll probably fund more Hope Squads in the future or something, but we're not saying like you have to put this program in with this money. What we're saying is community, you know, and so as long as we were looking, we had about 70 applicants and like I said, funded 26. So we were looking at things like, you know, what's their plan? How are they going to sustain it? How are they going to staff it? How, you know, so those are what's their design, right? Those are the things that we looked at to help the 20 rise to the top or the 26 rise to the top that we funded.
And then when you look at the 26, and you mentioned the Polaris school in Utah, okay? I mean, is that a rural school or is that a suburban school? What is that?
Polaris is a suburban school, but it's an alternative high school. So it's,
oh, cool.
It's for the kids who are, yeah.
Okay, so when you looked at the other 26, or 25 rather, I should say, when you looked at them,
no, I think it's 26.
What were those schools? Were they all over the country? Were they urban? Were they rural? Were they suburban? Was there any trend or anything?
No trend as far as like how we funded from that perspective. Like I said, we really looked at need, plan, design, sustainability. Those were kind of our big things. But we have elementaries, we have middle schools, we have high schools, we have rural, we have suburban, we have urban, you know, we really have a cross section of different schools.
And what are you hearing back now?
14 states.
That's nice. Yeah. And what are you hearing back? And you can use Polaris as the starting example. They built the comm room. It makes a difference to a lot of kids, and it must make a difference to a lot of classrooms and a lot of teachers as well, to get a kid who needs help quieted down, relaxed, and ready to learn. That's key.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the feedback that you're hearing about how the comm rooms work? Okay, it's something different.
Well,
okay, but I believe it's a needed thing.
So first and foremost, we just announced 2 weeks ago. So from our 26, we're just hearing thank you at this point.
Well deserved thank you, I might add.
But from Polaris,
you're welcome from Andrea.
Yeah.
And Julian Gray.
Our pleasure would be the right thing to say that, right? But what we hear from Polaris is higher attendance rate,
wow.
You know, less violence, a variety of just really positive outcomes. Kids can actually, because I asked this, I said, so kids can basically, every classroom has a pass so that someone, if at whatever point they are in their moment, they can pull up, they can just walk out of the classroom with this pass and go straight to the calm room. And and at Polaris, they actually call it the Zen Den. And I said, well, what about kids taking a test? They said, you know what? There's so much test anxiety. Of course, if a kid's taking a test and they need 10 minutes to breathe, go breathe, right? It doesn't matter, because we don't know what kids have come with that day. We don't know what's happened right before they've come. We don't know what's happened in the hall. We don't know everyone who's had a conflict either at home or with a peer or with a, with a frenemy or any, whatever. We don't know what's happening. But sometimes they just need a minute to breathe, and that's what this is. Yeah. Or they need an adult that can help them and can intervene. And that's the other thing, is this is a place where they can get to that caring, to a caring adult in the building that they trust and know is going to help them and, not be sitting waiting for the counselor's time, because the way this is set up is it's just got such great ebb and flow that adult is available any minute for a child to be able to get to talk to.
And when the schools applied, and you said Polaris was building a school, so then that makes it a little easier to build it in, so to speak. But a lot of schools aren't building new schools or whatever. As you looked at the grants, okay, did you look at where they were going to put the comm room or how they were going to structure it within the school?
To a certain degree, but we have one school. We have everything from we're taking up a part of our central office and we're going to set it aside and do that, to we're going to build a classroom, to we're putting in a portable for this. So we've seen, we saw everything. But again, in the scheme of things, our grant wasn't huge, right? $5,000 isn't going to get you that far, but it helps them.
No, it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, as the old saw goes, it's a step in the right direction. If you get school districts thinking about this, get architects thinking about this as they design schools, what we want to do. Yeah.
And, interestingly, because of this work, this has brought awareness that the Cook Center is involved in this. And from that, we've just become involved in another project that's Utah-based at the moment, but I think it could become national, but it's called Teen Centers. And there's a group here in Utah that's working to put a center like Polaris in every high school in the state. And they're building them from the ground up and, doing some really wonderful work. So we're also contributing to that work. So in Davis School District, which is the one that I visited 2 days ago, every new school they build, every new school they build will have a wellness center built into it.
Wow. Well, there you go.
So, I mean, it's kind of thing. And one of the other neat things about Polaris is we didn't fund this, but they saw the wonderful things that we were doing for kids. And
yeah.
So they found the funding to be able to have their faculty area instead of, you know, the dreaded faculty room, right? Their faculty area is now designed like a wellness area so
that
the faculty also has a place that they can go.
I was just going to say that at some point, the faculty needs these too. Okay. They need a place that's quiet and calm, and because tech teachers are under a tremendous amount of pressure these days. You know, this whole thing is that kids are changing and schools are changing. All right.
Yep.
And to make something like a calm room for either a teacher or a student available is a major change. It's a new paradigm, but it has to be something that's in place because everything has changed. Okay. We're not going back to the way it was. Okay. We are not going back. All right. And it has to be, we have to make a change so that everybody involved feels good about going to school. Think about how much of your life at school when you were a kid. Okay. And it has to be a happy place. It has to be a good place. Okay. And teachers
think
have to be
a lifetime educator. And,
yeah.
You know, think if you're a lifetime educator, you know, our educators are leaving in droves.
Oh,
and
unbelievable.
If we can provide them with spaces and wellness.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Help to make them feel better about the work that they're doing, because it is vital work to the success of our nation to have teachers working with and teaching our children. So we need to be taking care of them as well. And that brings us to the cohort. So our mental health cohort is not just
the
about
AASA.
The kids.
Yeah, yeah.
The AASA mental health cohort. You know, I called Mort Thurman, I don't know, about a year and a half ago. And I said, Mort, we need a mental health cohort.
And he said, well,
well, yes and no. I mean, at first he said, Ann, we already have an FEL cohort. I said, no, this is different. Mental health cohort, and the FEL cohort is wonderful, so don't, I'm not. But I said, this is different. What I want us to focus on is the health of the entire school community, the staff, the parents, the teachers, the, you know, the superintendents themselves, you know, the principals, the leaders.
Oh, they're losing superintendents like crazy. Okay, that's another pipeline we're having trouble with. Who's
going to
manage these school districts? Yeah.
It is. And so when we're looking at the mental health cohort, is about the mental health of the entire community. And how that differs from the SEL cohort is the SEL cohort is about, you know, the social emotional skills that kids need to be
resilient
and collaborative and those kind of things, right? And so equally important, but this is, it's a little broader, I think, when we think about the mental health cohort and the work that we're doing in the mental health cohort. So
absolutely.
Part of it that I think is important is that as we're seeing here, you know, schools are often the center point of social change, and they're often the center point when we have a social need. I always point back to, you know, childhood hunger. Well, we're able to solve childhood hunger through schools because every child's in every school every day. And back to mental health, if all we do is rely on the medical system for our mental health, how often do we see a doctor, right? You know, you might see him once a year, you might see him a couple of times, or even, you know, even if you see a doctor once a month, that's still not how we're interacting day to day in a school. So, you know, a school has the ability to identify and treat and create systems and programs. I mean, it's difficult that we're always like pointing to schools to do this, but schools are just such a place where we can create, we can solve big social problems. And so, you know, we're working on that, but also when we're working with superintendents, we don't want to put all the burden back on them. So bringing solutions to the table, you know, like parent guidance, the work we do with parent guidance is turnkey. We don't have to hire a new staff person to run parent guidance or to have that be part of your system. We make it turnkey.
we work with the Jed Foundation as part of the mental health cohort. And, you know, Jed's got wonderful systems in place to help schools and hope squads and things like that. So, you know, trying to not only bring information and expertise, but then also bring real solutions that can help the schools be that center point of mental health.
Yeah, and you guys do so well. We have to leave, and I'll tell you, you always bring something to the table here. I mean, it's just incredible what you guys do, and I hope everybody takes advantage of this. Okay, it's key stuff, cookcenter.org, everybody. This is Ann Brown, their president, CEO. All right, would you tell Mark I said hello, please? Would you do me a favor, Ann? Okay, my buddy Mark. I'll talk to him tomorrow. All right? And, boy, it's great to hear your voice. Okay, so thank you.
You too,
thanks for all you do. Okay?
You're
terrific.
You.
Okay. Thanks, Ann.
Talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, you will. Bye. Okay, that's Ann Brown, everybody, and cookcenter.org. These are good folks. Okay, and see what they're doing. Okay, what can I tell you? They're helping you overcome challenges. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. See what we do over there. Everything's free. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.